It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You're bringing me in tight. There is the velvet crust. It really does feel insane. Let's fill the time on the air. Let's fill the time on the air.
It's a dream. Free me so you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're under sedation.
Welcome to the Situation Report for February 27th. Felt like I was transported back to the 70s today, so time warp from Rocky Horror Picture Show actually is appropriate for today, because the photo op of the week was this morning, and God, I felt like I was contracting IBM to come and redo the network with fiber optic cable, and they came in with token rings and coax cable. It said, this is the latest and greatest shit in the world. My God, what a dumpster fire the Trump administration is. So they did a photo op today, DC Drano, libs of TikTok, and Chad Prather. I don't even know who the fuck this guy is. And before you tell me who he is, I don't care. I don't fucking care. They handed them an 8x11 binder with the Epstein release. Really? What, do we just get transported back to 1971? My God. The way this is supposed to go, just so we're all clear, you know, in the 21st century with the internet and shit, you're supposed to release the files on the internet for people to download, for AI to consume, and then to publish the list onto another website so everybody can see all the pedophiles. A fucking 8x11 binder? Are you fucking kidding me? Which one of you retards thought that was a good idea? My God. So yeah, that song's totally appropriate for today. we just got transported back to 1971, and everybody's, you know, high-fiving and running around the hallway celebrating because they released the list of the Kennedy assassination from 10 years earlier on 3x5 cards that were numbered. My God, what a fucking joke. Wait, let me say that right. What a bunch of bullshit. And not even freshly packaged and well-delivered bullshit. Just bullshit. My God. What a complete dumpster fire. This is all I got to say. If you want to legislate a civil war or revolution, that's a good start. That's the best start in the world. Invite a couple of people to the White House for the big release. It's almost like they came out today and said Barron was gay. That's really what that was today. He came out of the closet today. What a joke. But that's not even the worst part of it. There's a meme that's floating around. It's not even a meme. It's a video that somebody sent me today. And it's basically some dipshit in his yellow vest in his van saying that Trump wrote an executive order today and signed it that says HOAs are unconstitutional. Okay, first of all, that's horseshit because HOAs are mandated by the state constitution, not by the U.S. Constitution. So don't get your hopes up. Those Karens that are in your neighborhood that are walking around with a measuring stick, measuring your fucking length of your grass or how much snow is still in your driveway, they're not going away. Sorry. Hate to break it to you. But that's not even the worst part of today. The worst part of today is that everyone knows that Mossad was running the operation. Everybody knows it. I don't care who you are. Everybody knows it. And this is just yet another way to scrub information and to delay the ultimate existential crisis for the Trump administration. You made a deal with Israel. You got into office. Now you're trying to protect AIPAC, the Jewish mafia, and the rest of the Zionists from any kind of accountability. Let me just help you help me help you. And I'm only going to say this once for the Trump administration because you're all a bunch of retards. Everyone knows that Mossad was behind the blackmail ops. So just get it out of the way. Do what you have to do. AIPAC is a foreign lobby or a terrorist organization, however you want to look at it. I tend to lean towards terrorist organization because it compromised almost every single politician in Washington, D.C. in one way, shape, or form, which makes them an enemy, which is an act of war. But call me crazy. And then you need to break ties and cut off funding to Israel. Let them sink or swim on their own. But like I said before, they're going to need a scapegoat. And I've already said this before, and I'm going to say it again because Mike Flynn came out today and said in an interview, you know, James Coney, you should give up the tapes and the letters that you have on the bigger players and make a deal because you're going to go to jail, but you'll have some quality of life if you make a deal, e.g., give up Obama and make the bigger deal. And so I think they're going to do the same thing. This is just delay, 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 delay. Why? I think they're setting up to take Netanyahu out of power and use him as the scapegoat because Netanyahu's been around for almost 40 years. This guy's been in power a long time. So he knew all this was going on. What a better scapegoat to blame it on so you can exonerate the rest of AIPAC and everybody else who's really calling the shots and move on down the road so there's nothing to see. That's the best way to do it. So that's why I think the delay operation is going on. Because I think when they got in the office, they realized, oh, shit, everybody knows this leads to Israel. Oh, shit, we made a deal with Israel. Oh, shit, we can't throw them under the bus because we'll all get killed. Well, guess what? You made a deal with the devil. When you make a deal with the devil, he never honors the deal. So good luck with that. I'll take Revolution for 1,000, Alex. I'll take Most Hated Presidents for 100. And Bob's, Rob's, and Bobby's for 200. Jesus, what a dumpster fire. And oh, by the way, I'm still in Twitter jail. So if you think I'm going to broadcast on Twitter, we have to wait for the San Francisco gays and lesbians to approve me to go back onto Elon's free platform so I could broadcast again and get back out of Twitter jail. All because I said that Larry Fink should self-eliminate. I don't know why that's a problem. I mean, he should. Right, he's running around saying we need to get rid of 90% of humanity. Why don't you? Well, let's start with you. I mean, that's logical, right? So Gene Hackman died today. He and his wife, which I think is interesting. He was 95, though. I mean, bravo, made it to 95. Yep, Vedic. Yep, that's true. Everybody is somebody's bitch. Yep, that's very true. Learned that in the desert. General Hamm was Negroponte's bitch. Negroponte was the Bush's bitch. And the Bushes were the bitch of Israel and Mossad and everybody else that owned him. So yeah, everybody's somebody's bitch. I think what's interesting about the current situation, though, is that you're seeing three very distinct things that I didn't think we were going to see right away. One of which is you're seeing an absolute intolerance with the woke agenda now across the spectrum, whether you're conservative, or you're middle of the road, or you're liberal. People are moving towards conservative. A lot of former liberals have moved over to the conservative camp, or at least the middle of the road, because they're so tired of the extreme left or the extreme right calling the shots. And that's a good move. That's a movement in the right direction. Why it's important to all of this is, as this theater plays out with regard to Epstein, and look, it's all distraction. Let's just call spade a spade. It's all distraction. It's left-handed right masturbation with a twist. It's all just, it's nonsense. There's no there, right? They're going to throw a bunch of Hollywood stars under the bus. They all deserve it. They're going to throw some Hollywood directors under the bus. They all deserve it. They're going to throw some politicians under the bus. They all deserve it. So what are they really distracting us from? Here's what they're really distracting us from. And this is the part that most people probably didn't realize happened today. And it probably happened a while ago. Probably just didn't just happen today. Happened a while ago. But Elon Musk is looking at the FAA, and they're going to replace Verizon and the FAA backbone with Doge / what's his Cyberlink company? What's it called? Satellite company? It's so small, I've forgotten the name of it. Oh, that's right, Starlink. They're going to replace the Verizon backbone for the FAA with Starlink. What could possibly go wrong? I want you to take that in for a second. So the Verizon network that's set up to manage all the air traffic control systems, right? That there's redundancy built into it. Yeah, the system's old. Yes, the system needs to be updated. Yes, the system should be defended more aggressively. Yes, the system has flaws. But the piece that is not being discussed is Starlink is easily jammed. So you're going to put Starlink on every airplane, which, by the way, who does that benefit? Let's see, who's going to benefit from Starlink going to all airplanes, all ground stations? Starlink. Yeah, Elon Musk. Yeah, there's no conflict of interest there. And then on top of that, so you have, Doge that's doing using AI within the federal network right now. You have Doge that's calling out all of the systems that are compromised and need to be replaced. Then you have Elon Musk stepping in, take over the air traffic control system. And oh, by the way, I started watching the Zero Day series today, and oddly enough, the premise of the story is that a NSA created slash virus slash tool was used to take all of the communication and transportation, as well as trains, etc., all of that communication offline for 60 seconds, which caused airline crashes, train crashes, et cetera, et cetera. Sounds very familiar to what we're seeing right now, huh? Almost if it's predictive programming. Amazing how that works. And I'm only on episode 2, and I can barely make it through the whole. It's what kills me about it is it's the same cast of assholes that was in the Civil War movie and Leave the World Behind. It's the same group of assholes with De Niro, the short little fucking Keebler elf, as the lead actor. And he's a president who's probably losing his mind. I can't figure out if they're playing dementia, if they're playing he's got some, you know, PTSD or what his story is. I don't give a fuck. The point is, it's all predictive programming. And they're setting conditions, literally setting conditions for it. Here's what's interesting about the show. If you haven't watched it, spoiler alert, I'm going to spoil what I've seen so far, mainly because I just don't care. Wait, let me think. Nope, don't care. So they play a scenario. We've talked about this on the roundtable. I've talked about this too, that they don't have to do a lot of work to interdict the FAA as well as the air traffic control system. They just don't, because Elon's right. The system's antiquated. But the system, along with all of our systems, has atrophied for a reason. The elite knew that if they upgraded systems, the fraud would be easier to detect. By letting the systems run well past end of life, they could continue the grift. And I think the plan was to let these systems run past end of life until the system collapsed. And now there's this push to upgrade systems, protect our networks, et cetera, et cetera. I would propose to you that they know that there's some kind of an attack in the wings, cyber attack, that is, that can do a lot of damage in a very short period of time. And this is probably predictive programming that is telling us that they're going to do something with cyber, which I've been talking about for months and months and months. And, you know, a zero day, so everybody knows what a zero day is. A zero day is a software defect or a hardware defect or a firmware defect that hasn't been cataloged in the master vulnerabilities database. And the manufacturer doesn't even know that there's a vulnerability, but the dark web has figured it out and is exploiting it, and it's being used to compromise systems. That's what a zero day is. Typically, zero days affect one or two operating systems. They don't affect multiple operating systems, multiple versions of the operating system. They only affect one version of the operating system. And they last for a short period of time, then they're patched. And they're usually caught by somebody that's doing either penetration testing or what we call red team. So red team is basically a team of hackers that go in and they try and break systems and compromise systems and let you know where the holes are, right? Most organizations, way back when we had huge security teams, they were using red teams to exploit. Now you don't need to do that. You get a variety of tools that do that for you, but they don't catch all the nuances with the operating system, right? It's like static code analysis, you know, Dask and some of the other tools that are out there that allow you to analyze code as you compile it and tell you whether there's a vulnerability or not. It's even those tool sets have their limitations, right? This is somebody banging an operating system. And it usually takes them several weeks to figure out the exploit, figure out how to use the exploit, et cetera, right? So my point of this is a zero day doesn't affect every system on the planet. Just not, that's not how it works. that's malware or some kind of a tool that could do that. Because you're talking about operating systems that date all the way back to the basically the 80s. So you can't compromise all of them, right? So even with systems that are old, there's an inherent susceptibility to compromise, et cetera. But there are some measures of protection when an operating system gets so old that you can't do anything with it with modern tools. There's a lot of operating systems out there that are like that. So the premise of the story is that some kind of a tool was put in place that took down all these systems for a short period of time, but didn't compromise the system. That is very plausible, because the enemy, you know, the nation states that we face, and I'm not going to say hacktivists, because that's really a bullshit term, but the anarchists and some of the other groups that are out there, because there's a lot of different groups out there that do nefarious cyber activities. Anyway, they can compromise a number of systems, but they can't compromise every system. And you saw that graphically with CrowdStrike, right? CrowdStrike has a lot of access to the operating system to protect it, and that's what brought it down. Supposedly it was a rogue piece of code that was activated, blah, blah, blah. Not sure how much of that bullshit I buy, but whatever. The point is that it's doubtful that it's going to be some kind of malware that takes everything down. It's going to be some kind of a tool that they've architected that will take out key segments of the network, key segments of comm, key segments of air transportation, ground transportation, whatever. And here's what I thought was interesting about the so far, just in episode 3, is that they couldn't compromise every system, right? And they play it as they compromise specific systems. And that's exactly how it would play out, right? And they would compromise key systems that are susceptible to certain types of attacks, and they would target it all at the same time. That is very plausible, especially with AI, right? And then when you add to it that we still have millions of military age males in this country, you have the recipe for the perfect storm. Perfect amount of chaos, the perfect storm. And it's screaming that this is their plan. We're going to see some concatenation of this. How soon? Who knows? But I think it's very interesting that they use the air traffic control system as one of the key points. And then today the air traffic control system is on the agenda. It's almost as if they're trying to tell us something. But all that aside, I think that they're trying to distract us from the fact that Israel and Mossad were behind Jeffrey Epstein. I think that they're trying to distract us away from our eye line and the fact that the situation in Ukraine is not going to be resolved anytime soon. And I think that there's a war, there's definitely multiple factions fighting for control at the oligarch level, blood control it is. And I would almost say, I'm not even sure I believe that. I would almost say that we're watching a script play out where it shows where the script is the controlled opposition on both sides making moves in the public space. So it looks like there's this war going on, but really they're all one big team. And they're architecting the situation so they can bring in one world government. I really think that they're still trying to do that. I don't think Trump is anything new. I think Trump is still exactly what we had before, exactly the way we had it before. And I don't think that there's anything new in that playbook, especially today. That was a clear example of the fact that they are obviously stalling to do a photo op to say, we kept our promise. We've released the Epstein tapes. We've released all the information we have. The FBI is done yeoman's work to put it all together for you in this lovely binder. That's why I think that there's more distraction here than just the Epstein stuff. And notice how they haven't really talked about any firings at the FBI. Christine Holmes talked about them. She's talked about people getting fired for releasing information about the migrant bus, but she hasn't. They haven't said anything about who's been fired at DOJ, who's been fired, who's been fired at FBI, who's been fired in some of the other organizations. We're not hearing that, are we? So that's why I say there's a lot of distraction here. There's not a source of truth in any of this. It just seems like it's just more and more contrived BS every day. And I can tell you why that, well, at least my opinion of that is that Trump made a deal with the devil. And the good thing is the American people see right through it. Most of the internet crowd today, especially the internet journalist crowd and the truth crowd, they saw right through all this today. Called it out immediately. In fact, I think the funniest one was Ian Carroll. And his comments were priceless. So I'm watching all this theater and I'm thinking, yep, everybody else sees it too. To answer your question, Paul, so Katie Hobbs wasn't given a choice. And I'll tell you why. Because she's under investigation right now for money laundering and for a few other things, because a bunch of federal money was given to her administration and it just plain vanished. So I think she's playing along because she knows that at some point, you know, the walls are closing in on her. Well, I'd say that the walls should be closing on her. I'll believe it when somebody actually gets arrested. But until then, I think she's playing along because she knows she's got things that she has to atone for, and that's just one of them. So I would expect that at some point Katie Hobbs and the rest will be rolled up when the Obama crew is rolled up. But they're getting ready to do a show trial with Obama and throw him under the bus, which is fine because he's a treasonous piece of shit and he needs to go anyway. But that should tell you she's probably on the docket to go. But back to this predictive programming stuff. Why you should be paying attention to it. And look, somebody asked me this morning when all this stuff was going down, you know, what do I do to guard, to protect against some kind of a cyber attack? Well, one, you can never have enough backups, especially backups of your information offline that doesn't touch a machine, doesn't touch a server. And I'm not talking about, you know, time capsule and some of the other tools you use with Windows products or with Apple to back up your data. I'm talking about a hard drive with your data backed up to it that's completely isolated from anything online. That's the first thing. The second thing is they will, you probably want to have at least one or two laptops or desktops or whatever you have in your house that is not connected all the time, is shut down and not connected to the internet. So at least you have a backup. And look, the other thing too is one way to shield yourself against a lot of this stuff taking place. Like one thing that saved a number of companies in the US, especially in a lot of people in the US when the CrowdStrike thing went down, was there was a lot of companies that were just simply offline until certain hours of the day. They take their businesses offline at night to do maintenance or whatever the case may be. And that actually ended up saving a lot of people. Now, I'm not saying it's good business practice when you run a 24/7 operation, but it is an option to take off segments of your network so that you're not affected if there's any kind of an attack. And it is doable, right? It's not something you can do in a cloud environment where you have 24/7 access to all your equipment. It's just not real, right? But a manufacturing business where you're not manufacturing 24/7 and you don't need to have systems online 24/7, you take them offline. That way, the CrowdStrike thing developed just the way I thought it was going to develop too. It literally started in Europe and then moved its way towards the U.S. it basically followed the sun. And as that developed across the planet, the U.S. was struck last. So companies that were paying attention actually took their stuff offline before it blew up there and did the update. So there's more than one way around that. What I normally do is I got a lot of tech in my house, but I have two or three laptops that I've stored that I pull out once a month, do updates, and then put it back. And some of them I'll keep charging, some of them I won't. But for the most part, I try and keep at least one or two backups, because I learned the hard way when my company got ransomed a few years ago. Luckily, my machine wasn't connected to the network when it happened, and I had just come back from a trip. But everybody else's machine, and we had what's called a flyaway kit, where we had Pelican cases with, you know, five or six laptops in them in every office that we could hand out to the key people in the organization in just such an emergency. And turned out that wasn't even enough to get things back online fast enough. Right. And we caught it early enough to where we could shut off enough machines, but we still ended up re-architecting a good segment of the network. And it was a tremendous amount of work. So I learned ever since then to have offline equipment. And that's what I would recommend to everybody else. If you can afford it, have some offline equipment. Doesn't have to be new. Doesn't have to be brand new. It can be old stuff. I mean, I got some old IBM equipment or some old Lenovos that are flashed with Linux, and I use those as backups. It's just a failsafe more than anything else. But definitely have some of your data moved to a hard drive that's not connected to anything as a bare minimum. And I know a lot of you have iPhones and you use iCloud and you use or Google Cloud, whatever the case may be. You want to pull all that stuff down. I don't know how you do it in Apple, but I know how you do it in Google. You can pull all of your data down from Google. I do it. I did it, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, and I pulled everything down. And I haven't been back. But the term that I'm really talking around here is called an air gap. You just air gap all of your equipment, all of your data, and that protects you from a situation like that. There's no 100%, but that's about 99% best way to protect yourself. The other thing too is have all your documentation, passports, birth certificates, et cetera, have all that stuff in a safe place where you can get to it and access it. Because it's even harder and harder now. Like all my military stuff, all online. All my records online. And I've backed it up several times. And every time I go out there's something different. So I've got my originals on paper. And not that, you know, only the military would have everything on paper. My point is that don't assume that you'll be able to get to it, especially if you have stuff in the cloud. If there's a major contingency, you're never getting to it. I don't care. I don't care what they tell you, but if there's an earthquake in California and your stuff's in the data center in California, you're never getting it. It's gone. So have backups or backups, have backup equipment, and keep it air-gapped, and you'll be good to go, or at least you'll be able to operate. And that's especially true for people that rely on, have a fixed income, that have, government services. If all that's disrupted and you don't have copies of it, trust me, it's going to be very, very hard to get that reestablished. The more that you could pull offline and put into a safe place, the better off you're going to be. Sometimes even paper is better. But have it in a place that's waterproof, etc. Because you never know. Oh, and by the way, if I keep pausing, it's because I'm coughing and getting over whatever it is that's going around. Everybody I know is sick, and I finally got it, even though I've been taking ivermectin religiously. It's not helping. But back to the predictive programming. I think the other thing they're distracting us from right now is the financial side of the house. Notice how we're not hearing anything about Fort Knox anymore. We're not hearing anything about any. We're seeing the Doge stuff, but I think they're in the process of putting together some kind of a disclosure around Fort Knox is empty. Look, what I'm circling around is get ready for some kind of a financial disruption. That is definitely on the horizon. How big of a financial disruption? Who knows? But it's on the horizon. And how bad it's going to be? Who knows? But be ready, it's on the horizon. And I'm going to go back to something I said Monday before I wrap this up. I think we're in one of the most dangerous times in our history for a variety of reasons. The group of people that are running the show, these guys are all psychopaths. And I don't trust Musk any farther than I can throw the guy. He and Trump may have a good relationship. And initially I took things at face value, but now I'm starting to look and drill down into things. And I don't like the narratives I'm seeing. I don't like the narratives that are building. I don't like the fact that we've replaced one set of malcontents with a different set of malcontents. None of us voted to have Elon Musk replace all of our technical services as well as all of our digital services with Elon Musk technical services. We saw how well that worked out with Twitter, and that the censorship, shadow banning, and voices of millions of people have been shut down even more so since he took over Twitter. So somebody tell me, how is that better that he's taking over the FAA and putting Starlink in charge? And at the forefront, has anybody even questioned the fact, what happens if you jam Starlink? How many airplanes are going to run into each other? What happens if you replace the FAA system and you haven't thoroughly perfected the algorithm? Or worse, AI hasn't thoroughly been trained on how that works from a perspective of separating and mitigating traffic. There's a whole host of issues that can come out of this. And this is not one of those situations where I think that they have thought through this prior to the administration. Maybe they had. Maybe they had already thought through the air traffic control system. I mean, look, you can take two sides of this, right? You could say that it's great that they're looking at critical infrastructure and they're trying to put more resilient systems in place. But you could also look at it and say, yeah, I didn't vote for Musk to come in and take over all the tech in the government. Yeah, he runs the digital service for the government, but that doesn't mean he replaces it with all his own technology. And oh, by the way, you still have to answer the mail on how you're affiliated and how deeply affiliated you are with China before you start putting anything into a government network. We want to know from a transparency perspective just how in bed with China you really are and how deeply financed you are by China. Because it would be just like Elon Musk to put in a system that's built and funded by China to manage all of our air traffic. And then what happens when you go to war? They turn it off. All those questions need to be answered before he does any kind of major change to the air traffic control system. And yeah, I got it. Trump's anointed you to go do that. Got it. Everybody's got it. But that doesn't mean that you just do a willy-nilly or half-assed. It has to be thought through from a very concise perspective, especially when you're talking about millions of people in the air at any one time during the day. And I don't know if any of you have flown lately, but there's been a significant number of mishaps going on, from cabin fires to runway incursions to air traffic, near misses. All of those things matter. And the reason why the air traffic control system hasn't been migrated in years is public safety. That really is a piece of public safety. Now, could they change the air traffic control system? Absolutely, they could. Could you put AI in charge of the air traffic control system? Absolutely could. Does that mean it's a good idea? Not necessarily. But you'd want to test the hell out of it. And look, having owned several airplanes now, I can tell you that you don't upgrade airplanes. You don't upgrade engines. You don't upgrade avionics. You don't upgrade any of the creature comforts unless you're doing it for safety as a basis for everything you do. Like, I replaced avionics in two airplanes now, and it's very expensive. It's very expensive because the avionics you're buying are bulletproof. They've been tested to the point where they know exactly how many hours every part on that airplane is going to last before it needs any kind of a replacement, fix, or upgrade. Even rivets, there's a lifespan for rivets. And while that sounds trivial, That's how safe the air traffic control system has been for the last, you know, several decades, because we put that much emphasis on parts of the system, on systems as a whole, all the way through, soup to nuts, from the first piece of metal that rolls down the production line at Boeing to the finished airplane that takes to the skies with all the avionics and all the systems on it, to how it communicates with the ground and all the systems it communicates with. All that's been thought through for a variety of reasons and thought through to the point where you know what the mean time between failure is. There's absolutely no reason to make a half-assed decision. We could do it cheaper. Well, that's great. You can do it cheaper, but how many fucking people are going to die because you did it cheaper and you didn't think through all the variables? Air travel, just like rail travel, those are two systems that you have to test to the point where you know exactly how long every part is going to last and how often it needs to be replaced, because safety is that paramount. And I can tell you that Boeing in the 70s and 80s, that's exactly how they operated. They could tell you on a 747 exactly how long the tension straps that hold the airframe together would last, to the minute of when those tension straps would fail if you didn't service them. They could tell you how long an engine could run without oil before it seized. They could tell you exactly how many times you could actuate a switch in the cockpit before it would break. That's how much testing they used to do. They used to take wings, literally, they would take wings and stretch them and break them. And they could tell you from top to bottom how much they could stretch a wing on a 747, an 87, a 37. In fact, the 37's been around so long, they can tell you where every part is going to fail on that airplane. So you could talk shit about Boeing right now, but I know a lot of Boeing engineers, and those guys were fucking rock stars at what they did. Now, does that mean the company's not efficient now? No. Does that mean that there's not shit bags that are in charge that are executives cutting corners? Hell no. But I can tell you the guys that I know from Boeing, the guys that worked, you know, all the way through. In fact, one of my good friends was the lead engineer on the 37, the 37 MAX and the 37 700 800. And he retired because he got tired of arguing with the executives about the safety of some of the software systems. And turns out he was right. When those airplanes went down, because of the autopilot on the 37 MAX, guess what? He looked at him when I told you so. And then another one went down, and here we are. But that's why all that testing goes into all those systems. That's why those systems are tested to the point where you know exactly where it's going to break. And that's exactly what has to happen with the FAA system before you start replacing things. You need to understand where the gaps are, where the failure points are, where the comm separation happens, where there's dark spots on the planet. Because if you're going to put this comm system on every single airplane, guess what? It needs to be able to talk all over the planet, no matter where that airplane's at. Not kinda. Not we can handle a little bit of degradation. No, it's got to be bulletproof. So, and that's, you know, I could talk ad nauseum about GPS and how the GPS constellation went up and why it was so robust for so long, and how much testing it took to geolocate on land and how precise it was, and how often you have to go command the birds and keep those things in orbit, and why it's so important to keep them. Same thing. We did all of this not because we had to. We did it because we wanted these systems to be so robust that failure was unlikely outside of the planned failure times. And that's exactly what this FAA system, that's why it's a big deal. And that's why I think a lot of people have missed it, because they're so wrapped up in the Epstein sideshow, which is not all it is. Just like the announcement today that RFK is going to, he didn't block it. He didn't cancel it. He just paused a vaccine contract for $200 some billion. Okay, that's not banning the vaccines. That's just a pause. And that needs to be, those vaccines need to be banned. Everybody knows that. So I'm just saying, this is, you're just seeing distraction, delay. What are they delaying for? I think they're delaying because they know something's on the horizon. And that's something that's not going to be pleasant for the American public, especially the European public, because as far as I'm concerned, Europe and the UK are lost. So if you're doing anything right now, keep watching the peripherals, because I think that's where we're going to get hit from. And it'll be, and again, I've said this before and for time and time again, it's worth repeating. Expect the unexpected, because what they will architect is a situation that creates the utmost amount of confusion and creates the utmost amount of fear. If you have cyber takedown, critical infrastructure, planes are coming down, and then there's kinetic all at the same time, it's the perfect storm. And the best thing you can do for yourself, your family, your friends, etc., is to remain as calm as you possibly can and make sound decisions and grounded decisions in that situation. No matter how long the power's off, no matter how long the comms are done, it doesn't matter. If you're organized and your family's organized, your friends are organized, and you start, they have people in your community, your sphere of influence and your line of sight that you can communicate with and you can work with, you'll fare a lot better than everybody else. And that's the name of the game. It's not what, how, or when. It's being able to operate in a highly ambiguous environment. All that's going to be very, very important as all this develops. And it sure looks like they're guiding us towards some kind of an event. It really does. All of the distractions, all the noise, all of the conversations, there's some kind of an event coming. And I think it's really, I think a lot of it is financial more than anything else. That's where I really think the nut is the financial side of this. They know they have to reset the currency. They know they have to reset the debt clock. They know they have to get the spending under control. And what they really need to do is issue austerity measures, right? We can't afford Social Security. That's the bottom line. And there's two kinds of spending in the government, non-discretionary and discretionary. Non-discretionary spending is Social Security entitlements and all of those programs that we have all come to take for granted as being normal. Those are the biggest parts of the budget. Because of all this other fraud, waste, abuse, and all this other crap, money laundering, like the story about Jamie Raskin funneling money to NGOs that his family were board members on, his family were trustees of, and he sat on the board of, they all do that. All of them. That's why they call it a revenue stream. He appropriates the funds to the NGOs. He's sitting on the boards that the family members are working, and they all pay themselves. That's how they go from $35,000 a year to $350 million. That's how the games play. But at the end of the day, that's just a small portion of the budget that we spend every single year. And the biggest part is Social Security. It was never intended to last 80 or 90 years. It was only intended as a stopgap measure for 10 or 12 years to get the economy and to get the rest of the country back on its feet prior to World War II. And here we are. And they even said that they can't, it's insolvent. They can't continue to fund Social Security. And there's no demographic that once this demographic dies off, we're going to be in better shape. That's nonsense. As the country population size grows, so does the entitlement bucket that you have to maintain. And the fact that we don't do pensions anymore, we haven't held anybody accountable for all the pensions that are defunct and have been basically pillaged by all these different industries, especially the airline industry. But guess what? Here we are. And at some point, this will be another problem we have to solve. And that is, when people get to retirement age, do we as a society take care of them, or do we leave them to flounder? And that's really one of the bigger things that we're going to have to solve after all the other stuff that's in front of us. But right now, the event, whatever that is on the horizon. And I would love to be wrong, but when I see all this messaging about these these different, like the Civil War, Leave the World Behind. So we had the Civil War, EMP, and now we have cyber. All three in the last 3 years, all three predictive programming. And I'm hoping that since they've turned off USA, and I'm taking that at face value, that this has disrupted some of their plans. But the fact that Robert De Niro, of all people, is showing that a third party is brought in to the government to take over, to fix things, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's almost as if they looked at the current administration and did a series. Huh. It's too much predictive programming to be a coincidence, is my point. So as this develops over the next several weeks, pay attention to things that matter. And don't get wrapped up in the hype. If they were serious about releasing the Epstein tapes, all that stuff would have been dropped online to a website for everybody to download. And it would have been done all at once. Not this part one, part two, part three, part four bullshit. Part one of what? Of how many parts? How long is the disclosure going to take? Why isn't it online? That's why I say don't get wrapped up in it, because it's just, they're just stringing you along. They're using the whole, you know, fishing line to bait and switch you. To me, it's all bullshit, and Pam Bondi should be fucking fired. Full stop, fired. So I only give her 4 or 5 months and she'll be out of there. Because if she's at high speed, why haven't they arrested anyone yet? You could start within DOJ and arrest all those people that conducted that Kabuki theater after January 6th. And more importantly, why haven't they released and pardoned all these people that were jailed for the last 4 years? You had people jailed for January 6th. That was all bullshit. Turns out the FBI was heavy presence. And they used provocateurs, big surprise, to breach the building. Then you have people that were arrested for protesting peacefully inside of abortion clinics. Those people need to be pardoned. There's a whole host of things that they should be working on. But yet, a press op, a photo op, or an 8x11 binder so they could say they released the Epstein tapes. Calling bullshit on that. Total bullshit. And shame on you, Pam Bondi, for trying to pull a fast one. All of us see through it. You're going to have to do a lot better. But this is the thing. The American public see through it. We all see through you. We all know who your allegiance is to. So you got a choice. You can either throw Israel under the bus like you should, or you go down in history as one of the most hated figures in American history. Because that's where this ends up. It doesn't go any other way. And the same thing with Trump. Trump goes down in history as one of the most hated men in American history. If people aren't held accountable, and if this drug companies continue with the malfeasance, they don't pull the drug ads from TV, guess what? You're going to blame Trump. That's the deal. You signed up for it. And nobody's counting warp speed. In fact, it should tell you a lot that Albert Bourla was booed in the White House. Hello. As far as Matt Gaetz goes, you know why Gaetz isn't the AG? He clearly has something in his background that was going to be exploited. And if he really did have sex with underage minors, guess what? He goes to prison. I don't care how much of a rock star he is. If you had sex with kids and you were compromised, you go to prison. That's the deal. That is our mantra moving forward. Because the problem of our generation is not the economy. It's not Social Security. It's not even war. It's crimes against children. And I keep saying this, it's not teenagers. That problem is going to exist until the end of time. As long as there's teenagers, as long as they have access online, as long as they have any kind of freedom and no boundaries, guess what? There's going to be problems there. I'm talking about kids under the age of 10 that don't know any better and can't protect themselves. That is who these people have gone after. That is the part of the Epstein tapes that needs to be released. Not just who had sex with kids, who went to the island, who was a repeat offender. How old were the kids that they abused? How many kids under the age of 10 did those people abuse? How many kids were trafficked by all these different oligarchs, all these different federal and state organizations? How many kids were trafficked within the whole child protective system or the foster family system? There's a whole host and dynamics that we need to solve. That's the problem of our generation, because that's where all of the blackmail ops and everything else, that's where it all stems from. And here's one other hard, cold truth that most people need to get their heads around. This nonsense where you're going to make it okay for people to be pedophiles, no, you're not. That pendulum is swinging the other way. This whole minor attracted persons thing, that's going to vanish like Houdini. You are a pedophile. If you have sex with underage kids, you're a pedophile. You're not a minor attracted person. You're a fucking mentally ill, sick fuck, and you deserve to be castrated and then put in prison or just killed. Full stop. And for those of you who are making kids do stuff to other kids, there's a special place in hell for you. And there's no amount of time that it's going to take for your death to occur that's going to be long enough. Your reign will last days, but your death is going to last years. Especially for all you pricks that have been preying on underage kids coming across the border, raping them, and then trafficking them, and then trading them, and then raping them again. Oh, you motherfuckers are going to pay a price. That's the problem we have to solve. Because it's not just the financial side of it that's insidious. It's what it does to our culture, what it does to our youth, what it does to our social and our cultural value system. That's the part that most people don't realize, is the hit that we take both culturally and from a value perspective as a culture. Massive hit. Look at how much damage the last 4 years have done to rights of children and rights of parents. You think that's not interconnected to all of the child trafficking? It absolutely is. These people are trying to architect laws and build a legal system that protects them from abusing and grooming children. That's what the game's always been. And they're also trying to castrate children too. And it's an attack on both women and on motherhood. And this isn't the trans agenda. This isn't the transhuman agenda. This is just plain going after conservative values and mainly after Christians. That's what a lot of this is about. And all these liberal lemmings that want to go castrate their kids, you don't deserve to be parents, as far as I'm concerned. If you're going to convince your five-year-old that your five-year-old wants to be a girl at five, you deserve to be knelt down and executed. That's a crime. Bottom line. But that's the problem of our generation. And that's what we need to solve. And we can't accept anything less than that. That's it. Full stop. But keep an eye on that. Don't worry about the rest of this nonsense and bullshit, because it's a lot of bullshit. And the more they do press ops like this, the less I'm going to trust them. I'll take things at face value for so long, but now this is a concerted effort to protect Israel. Sorry, not signed up for that. Didn't vote for that. Didn't vote for Elon to be the FAA either. He can go fuck himself. Anyway, I'll be back. If something major happens, I'll be back with a sit rep or a roundtable. Otherwise, I'll be back Monday. I think things on the home front are actually starting to turn and go in the right direction. So thank God for that. Until then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.